Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Jerome Emiliani, and he's certainly not one of those that is on the first tier of saints when you think of saints. But he's a marvelous, marvelous man. Listen to this. He was born in 1486 in Venice. He joined the military in his youth, and the time he spent as a prisoner of war sparked his conversion and priestly studies. Moved by the plight of destitute children in Venice, he pledged his own resources and then his life to their care. Other young men followed him, and a congregation for the care of those on the margins of society. That is, they were called the Clerks Regular of Somasca. He was born. Jerome loved to be among the children, and when faced with a particularly vexing problem, he would gather a few orphans to pray with him. He died in 1537, and in 1928, Pius XI named him the universal patron of abandoned children and orphans. How desperately we need more saints like that today, who would give their lives for the abandoned children and for the orphans. O God, Father of mercies, who sent St. Jerome Emiliana as a helper and father to orphans, grant through his intercession that we may preserve faithfully the spirit of adoption by which we are called and truly are your children. We're children of God, how much we should reach out to children who are abandoned or in some way in distress. We pray all of this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Now we take a look at the first reading for today from 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 4 to 13. When Solomon was old, his wives had turned his heart to strange gods. When he was old, perhaps feeble, his wives had turned his heart to strange gods, and his heart was not entirely with the Lord his God, as the heart of his father David had been. By adoring Astarte, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Milcom, the idol of the Ammonites, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not follow him unreservedly as his father David had done. And before we're ready to condemn Solomon for turning away from the Lord wholeheartedly, I think we ought to take a look at ourselves. Do we have any false gods in our lives that we pay more attention to, more in terms of thought, word, and action than to God? If we do, if we can say, yep, that's me, maybe it's sports, maybe it's, who knows what it is, but something that takes our time, our attention, our energy, and even our money more than the Lord, be very careful, because that's an indicator that you are, in a sense, worshiping a false god. Doesn't mean that you can't like sports. It's the time, attention, and money you put that can be out of proportion. Take a look at that area in your life. Solomon then built a high place in Shamash, the idol of Moab, and to Molech, the idol of the Ammonites, on the hill opposite Jerusalem. He did the same for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. The Lord, therefore, became angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. For though the Lord had forbidden him this very act of following strange gods, Solomon had not obeyed him. The Lord had told him, beware of false gods. But Solomon fell into the trap. So the Lord said to Solomon, since this is what you want, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I enjoined on you, I will deprive you of the kingdom and give it to your servant. I will not do this during your lifetime, however, for the sake of your father David. It is your son whom I will deprive, nor will I take away the whole kingdom. I will leave your son one tribe for the sake of my servant David and of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. Very strong penalty for worshiping false gods. Pay attention to this. Translated into our times, false god is something that we pay more attention to than to the worship of God. In terms of time, investment, whatever. Psalm 106 says, "Remember us, O Lord, as you favor your people. Blessed are they who observe what is right, who do always what is just. Remember us, O Lord, as you favor your people. Visit us with your saving help." But they mingled with the nations and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare for them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons, false gods. And the Lord grew angry with his people and abhorred his inheritance. Humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your souls. Let this word be planted in us, brothers and sisters. Let God's word, it's so easy to fall into the worship of false gods. I don't mean you're bowing down and sacrificing animals before false gods, but it's your time, your attention, your money. What are you doing with it? Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 24 to 30. Jesus went to the district of Tyre. He entered a house and wanted no one to know about it, but he could not escape notice. Soon, a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him. She came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth. So she is not a Jew. And she begged him to drive the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, this sounds so harsh. He said to her, let the children be fed first. It's not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs. What if somebody said that to you? What would you do? You were pleading for help and somebody insulted you like this. What would you do? She replied, instead of stalking off, she replied and said to him, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's scraps. In other words, even if I am a dog, dogs eat the food under the table, and I'd be glad to do that. She's humbling herself. And he said to her, for saying this, you may go. The demon has gone out of your daughter. And when the woman went home, she found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. That is one of the most powerful passages in Scripture, that this woman, out of love for her daughter, would not accept the seeming insult that Jesus was giving her. But she opened her heart, humbled herself, bowed down before him for the sake of her child. Wonder what happened to her after that incident. Want to know, did she follow the Lord? There is a book I've mentioned before called The Gospel of Mark by Dr. Mary Healy, and she writes on this passage a section that I want to share with you. She said, in this striking incident, the Syrophoenician woman turns out to be a model of Christian faith. She is not the last person who has come to Jesus with an urgent petition, only to encounter what seems to be a brick wall. But she is neither discouraged nor disheartened. She simply perseveres in intrepid confidence. Somehow, what she has heard about Jesus has given her a profound intuition that he cannot be indifferent to her plea. Jesus is never indifferent to our pleas. So she refuses to take no for an answer, and her boldness is rewarded. The clear lesson in this story is that the Lord does hear our prayers, and even his apparent refusals are meant to awaken in us a yet deeper faith. So often, what do? When God doesn't answer, we turn away from him. But she says here, Dr. Healy, very clearly, even his apparent refusals are meant to awaken in us a yet deeper faith, which opens us to receive the gift that he has for us. Few sayings of Jesus are recorded more often than his reassurance that what we ask in prayer with faith, we will receive. We will receive. Brothers and sisters, how much do you trust him? How much do you rely on him? How much, even when your prayers seemingly aren't answered, that you keep right on praying? How many of us get discouraged and disheartened and say, oh, well, God's not hearing me. That's because of this and that and the other thing. God wouldn't listen to me. That's a lie of the devil to you. God always listens. He does ask us to repent for our sin so that we can receive his grace. When our bodies, our minds, our spirits are clouded or darkened by sin, we can't see clearly. We can't hear clearly. So repentance is first. Then pray for the intention you have and keep on praying. Ask the Lord to lead your prayer. Sometimes I'm praying for A, and while I'm praying, God lets me know that B is what's more important for me to pray for. I just get an idea or a thought in my head. God doesn't come down from the sky and, you know, lighten up where I am with his incredible light. It's not that, but I get a thought in my head and I pay attention to it. I mull it over. And sometimes I've ended up praying differently. That is for a different outcome. Or another priority in the situation seems better than the one I'm praying for. And when I get insight like that, I pay attention to it. And I say to the Lord, Lord, I want what you want for this person. This is what I see. This is what I think you might be inspiring me to pray for. Teach me. And then I pray the rosary or whatever it is that I am using in this situation to intercede for someone. And as time goes on, especially if you're reading scripture day after day, what's happening is that the living word of God is reforming your priorities. And it's building your faith to have confidence to seek him and to listen for his voice. As an end result, your prayer becomes much more effective because you're praying more and more with the mind and the heart of Christ. It's a process, but brothers and sisters, be willing to engage it, for he loves you and he wants to hear your prayer. For the free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, dial 1-800-282-4789. For the CD, 40 Days Journey, Encountering the Love of God, go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. Cost of the CD, $10. God bless you.